Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show. I guess I should give you the date, October 8th, 2019. I think maybe I might start doing this more. I should have been doing it all the time. I get caught up when I gotta say sometimes, and I overlook the date. I think it's significant that we start looking at dates because our time is slowly coming to an apex, if you will. I was explaining to somebody the terminology of being out of time. And we think that being out of time means that we have a destination to get to. We got to get there by a certain time frame. And if we don't get there soon enough, we'll have exhausted the time. And we have run out of it, or we have missed the mark. And I explained, if you took time as something solid, something tangible, you know, let's say a tube, and you're inside that tube, and we call that tube time, you would be in time. You'd be inside of time, or you'd be in time. But if we took you out of that tube and displaced you out of that tube, you would be out of time. And nobody really looks at it that way, but we perhaps should, because we have been out of time for a long time. We've not been in time at all. In fact, our timeline has been skewered, if you were to look at it from that angle. It's as almost as if today we are living a comic book life. I don't know about a lot of you, but when I grew up reading comics, and comics, a lot of comics I read were superhero comics or comics of tales of the unknown or the unusual. And I was always attracted to this because of the nature of the science that it was involved. I mean, it was fascinating to see a super soldier or an augmented being coming from another planet or another sector, or had been altered by through some sort of scientific manipulation, had been given gifts and abilities that were beyond the norm, that were exceptional. And then to see the machinations of the art of the day and the machinery that they were talking about, robots, like you look at Magnus the Robot Fighter that was depicted in back in the 1950s, Solar and Man of the Atom, Superman, Batman, all these comic heroes, Captain America. When you look at the machinations and the depictions that they were showing us back in the 50s and 60s in these comics, they were writing the script, if you will. They were telling us the tale. They were telling us the story. They were showing us the events that were yet to come. Then when the 60s rolled by, we not only had the comic book version of what was going on, we had the enactment of the game plan going on through the media, through radio, television, through the imposing doctrines and dogmas and the directional guidance that those who were in charge of the media were delivering to the general population. As a result, we had a whole generation being again diverted out of time. As a result, the future events were not so much the events that were should have happened, but were made to happen. And this is a perspective that, again, if everybody starts looking at this and reflecting back, we'll see what I'm talking about. Nowhere in time, nowhere in history, nowhere in any aspect has anything changed. The only thing that has changed is the events that occurred that stimulated the growth of a culture and the deactivation of the culture. And it's been going on cycle after cycle after cycle. It's been repeating itself over and over and over. The scientific community that we are talking about today is really basically retarded by comparison to the earlier scientific communities that preceded us in history. They're far more advanced, far more developed, far more evolved in a lot of scientific levels. The difference between then and now is the level of moral guidance, ethical guidance, even spiritual guidance, was a lot higher than it is today. But nonetheless, even then, no matter what the culture was, whether they were Asian, whether they were Middle Eastern, whether they were African, whether they were European, wherever they may have stemmed from, were all brought down the exact same way. The theme has been the same all across the Bible. Eve was tempted, right? She was tempted. She was told that if she ate the fruit, she would be like God, knowing good from evil, having the power of God. That's a temptation, right? Now, today, we are still using the same form of temptation. You will be like God. You're going to create a transhumanistic being using your DNA, your brain, your soul, your whatever, trap you into a machination, and you will be like God. You will live forever. You'll have access to all the information about you, so forth and so on, and you will be like God. This is a temptation. This has always been a temptation. You will live forever. You will have your beauty. You will not age. Anti-aging. You know, all these things have been the theme in keeping us diverted from the truth. You will be like God. In some ideologies and philosophies, people actually believe that they are God. I always say, let's put that to the test, shall we? I'm one of those guys, I don't believe nothing. I'm one of those guys that have to substantiate things, right? There's historical evidence that I accept because, again, the evidence outweighs anything else that some of the things happened in the past as they've been depicted. But other things I question and I want substance. So if you're going to tell me you're a God, I want to put that to the test. Right, let's put a bullet between your eyes that splatter your brains all across the concrete and the walls. Let you lay there, not even bury you. Let's just let you lay there and see if you come back to life in 3 days. Now see, Jesus did this. Jesus died. This is recorded history. Everybody, there's all kinds of recorded events depicting that he died and came back from the dead. There is your living God. Death had no hold over God. Okay. But these so-called gods, let's see if they can manage to do the same thing. Even the earlier gods that the people believed, like Zeus and Jupiter and Ares and Mars and so forth and so on, died or could die, but not come back. Are they gods or are they aliens or something else? Perspective there. I was talking to somebody about the Book of Jasher. And I'm getting into these tangents because I'm trying to get you to think and open your mind on different avenues of perspective of things. But I was reading the Book of Jasher, and the angels that had been sent down to help guide men and women to a more godly state became bored, and they became, I think, indignant. Imagine an entity of higher intellect, higher being, knowledge, being put in a position of babysitting a race of people that were just incomprehensibly stupid by comparison. And they got bored and they decided to, instead of guide the culture, they decided to meddle in the cultural evolution. They taught women alchemy and they taught men how to wage war. This is why we're in the position we're in today. But when you look at these same angels, there were three or four of them, and you look at their behavioral patterns, these same three or four were, again, in history, throughout history. They were the ancient Greek gods, Zeus, Ares, Apollo. There's probably another one there. They were the same Norse gods. As the Greek gods, the same Roman gods, they were the exact same. And they were depicted in the exact same manner. They went into the women of the earth, they engaged with them on a sexual level, and introduced their genome into the planet, altering the development and evolution of men and women. Because you ever wonder why we're in the state that we're in? We're always in a state of war. Always, always fighting. America's always in some kind of war. Another war is about ready to brew. And according to Syria, a report out of the UN, that the United States has already been using super soldiers in war. Imagine that, super soldiers in war. So it seems like we're in this, we're caught up in this cycle of being in a state of perpetual war. In other words, we're entertaining these entities. I can't call them gods because I believe they can die. But we can call them an entity because that's what they truly are. And when you look at these entities or these entitlements that these entities had, Apollo was the god of the sun and also the god of medicine, pharmacopoeia. Mars or Aries was the god of war, the military-industrial complex. Zeus was the god of power, thunder, electricity, conductivity, energy. And these, and there was another one, and I don't recall it right off the bat. But these entities, like I said, entertained themselves with, on behalf of mankind. And today we're in the same ritualistic cycle of, if we're not consciously following these gods, we are unconsciously following their program. And that's what it appears. So when we're looking at some of the things going on, like super soldier programs, enhancing the capacity of a man or a woman to become more than what they are through either genetics or constructs attached to their bodies, making them more potent, more efficient, more tactical, more enduring, increasing of strength. What happens if they don't get killed in battle? Because according to the Assyrian ambassador, they killed these things. They wiped them out their countryside. And those will be the first two links that you'll see. Calling them some sort of infection or a corruption of some kind. And you have to kind of wonder, were these super soldiers allowed to go in to wage the wars they had to wage, do the bidding of the commanding officers or those in charge, and then were basically disposed? No support, no nothing. They were allowed to, and then maybe even leaked information where they might be so that the Assyrian forces could kill them. This is not beyond the scope of the American military or any other military for that matter. This has happened in the past, where during the Second World War there was one event where they had trained soldiers to be so barbarically animalistic that they could not bring them back to their homes because they had no idea what to do with them once they got them home. So they sent them off to their battles, and then when they were in the middle of a battle, they would refrain from using other forces to support them, back off, and allow them to get killed by the enemy forces. This is, like I said, this is the world we are in. This is the illusion that we have been given for the past 60 years. It has been incredibly well-conceived and well-executed to a point where we're now looking at this chaotic conundrum that we're in today. This is why I call the Earth a shithole. They have turned this planet into a toilet bowl. And we are in the rim. So when we're looking at some of the stuff that I'm talking about today, I'm getting calls more and more lately on targeted individuals. I'm getting more and more calls with people now discovering the nanopoisoning. I'm getting more and more calls with people now making the buckets. I'm getting more and more calls on people making the triangles, people taking the baths, changing their diet. Everyone's, more and more people, the awareness and awakening is happening now in regarding to the level of exposure that we've given the technology in regarding to how it's infecting us and what it's doing to us and how it's overriding our DNA. Some are still asleep. Some will not accept it. Some will run away. Some will continue going to the doctor, getting treated with medications that will have absolutely no effect whatsoever. And in fact, the medications that the doctors are giving people that will now teach this technology how to circumvent or neutralize the medications. The medical field is at least 20 to 25 years behind in regarding to nanosafety, nanoparticulate damage. The reports are all over the place. If I can find them, anybody can find them. If you go on my website, I got a list of them on augmentedforce.com. Go check it out. There's all kinds of information that you need to gather and grasp. Brian396 has got his minds, www.minds.com/Brian396. He's got a ton of data as well. The research has been done. The documents have been pulled. You can look at it from any different angle. Brian did the more artsy stuff where he's got actual pictures. I did the more documentary stuff, which I've got documents and literature. He's got it too. He's got both, actually. So my point here is you have to be awake enough and alert enough and aware enough to know that a lot of the things that we're being assaulted with today is on an advanced level of development out of a laboratory using genetics and nano in order to incorporate and give you a designer disease. AIDS never existed, never was any AIDS, but it was a designer disease created in a military lab somewhere and then released in the general population. The general population is under a constant assault to be diminished and brought down. They are slowly waging a war right under everybody's nose and nobody's paying attention to reduce the population on the planet. And they are releasing their technology and they're releasing their developmental genetics using insects, using drones, using chemtrails, using transgenetics, the food supply, the air supply, the water supply. We're not even getting real sun anymore. We're getting solar reflectors. Even the moon is not real. Everything on this planet is there to assault you. If you assume and allow the elite of the planet or the globalists of the planet who designed this weaponry to be used in the general population to just allow yourself that comfort to think that there is a regulatory body that gives a shit about you and is going to regulate the safety of what you're consuming, you are deluded. Period. You can hear anybody in the YouTube chat saying, oh yeah, we got, you know, out there lab partying, we check everything, we make sure everything is safe, blah, blah, blah. And then you buy the product and you get sick on it. What does that tell you? That tells you that the bullshit is really deep, is what it tells you. This is why a lot of times I suggest for everyone to buy their own products in powder and make your own powders in capsules or tinctures or in any other form that you see fit. This way you have full control of what's going on. This can minimize some of the exposures of other things they're putting in some of the supplements you're buying. Doesn't mean they too are pure and whole. It just means you now have a better opportunity to maintain and utilize something that is going to be consistent and is going to be what you paid for. As a result, when you take the materials that you're buying, you may see the benefit that is being depicted as what you should be seeing. We are no longer in the realms of innocence. That has been taken from us. They have forced us out of time, and we have lost our innocence. And we are now being faced with concepts and ideas that a lot of it has been given to us long before we were ready to take it, ready to be ready for it, ready to being aware that it's there. There's a lot of things right now are all around us that we have absolutely no clue on, zero, and we are assuming, and this is basically what it's all going down, we are all assuming that the doctors know what they're doing. We're assuming that the scientists know what they're doing. We're assuming that the military-industrial complex knows what it's doing. We're assuming that governments all over the world know what they're doing. This is a presumption at best. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They are just following orders just like everybody else. They're being led. We are going to be led into a war. And you will hear this more on the one of the links I put out there, how Mr. Trump was calling back the soldiers, and all of a sudden he decided to reroute the soldiers back into Syria. Now, why would the President of the United States of America, one of the most leading countries militarily, want to invade Syria? What is there that they're not telling us? And who is going to take care of the Assyrian people? Their country has been completely devastated. They have been propagating and propagating and propagating wars in the Middle East and enemies of Israel. Iran and Israel have this love-hate relationship with each other. Israel wants to take out Iran, and Iran wants to eliminate Israel. And in this foreplay that's going on, Russia, China, India, the United States, Europe are now involved in that area, in that region. I'm not anti-Semitic, but I gotta say this. I don't know about the rest of you, those of you who are awake enough to understand what's going on, but I am so effing tired of war. I'm so bloody tired of having to listen to some little country in the Middle East cry some kind of whatever. You know, oh, we need help. There's all these bullies around us. Well, if you didn't assault these people, maybe, perhaps, they would leave you alone. And if you want to have a fight with a country, and you're so gung-ho that you want to go in and have a frickin' war with a country, my concept and opinion is this. If you feel that inclined to have a war with another country, leave Canada, America, United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand out of it. The Commonwealth does not need to involve itself in wars because two countries cannot maturely evolve and settle their differences like civilized people. Civilized people don't want to just jump into a war anytime they want. Everyone wants to show off that they got a bigger gun, bigger bullet, bigger bomb, bigger this, bigger that. It's really, really anal. And the only ones that lose in this war is not the people of Iran or the people of Israel. It's the people that they have got involved in this war and got everybody all worked up to jump into a war. My other suggestion is this. Any politician in the Commonwealth, that includes the United States, it's a Commonwealth country, whether Americans think so or not, it really is. Anybody in the Commonwealth, any leader in the Commonwealth that is gung-ho about going to war, my humblest opinion is this. If you want to go to war that bad, and you want to take the country into the war that bad, then you lead the charge. I don't care if you're the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Canada, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, the Prime Minister of Australia, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, or any other Prime Minister that's a part of the Commonwealth. If you're that gung-ho about going to war and wanting to get us in it, then you get dressed up in the fatigues. You go through the boot camp. You don't get placed in a commission like in the kitchen duty or in some Military base at home. No, 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 no. You're going to do like the old kings used to do. You're going to take your gun, your bombs, your uniform, and whatever they give you, your grenades or whatever they're going to give you to fight, and you're going to lead the charge. You're going to be on the front line. You're going to be with the commanding officers of the platoon, and you are going to lead the charge. And then if you die, oh well, you can be replaced. You're just a politician that led a charge into a war we shouldn't have been into. That's my concept. I don't know. Some of you are parents. I'm a parent. I've brought in two people into this planet. Brought them into a shithole. I did not bring them here to fight a war for another country. Nor did I bring him here to fight wars because some greedy corporation needs to have a war fought in order to take over some land in another country. I don't know about you, but I did not sign up to bring children into a planet just to wage war on countries for the sake of making somebody rich. Or because two countries cannot sit there and with all their so-called advancements cannot sit there and actually discuss terms of a peaceful coexistence. And that's not my problem if you can't get along with that country, but it is my problem when you try to drag the rest of us into it and you get our politicians paid to get us into these wars, and then the politician sits at home while our children, our sons and daughters, go out there and bleed for this insanity. I have a problem with that. So anyway, you'll find that nothing has changed. Same old shit, different time frame, different time zone, different ways of fighting the war, but it's the same thing. It's all about the same thing, power and control. You'll be like God, you'll have power. My missile is bigger than your missile. My missile is faster than your missile. My missile can wipe out more area than your missile. I mean, you know, it's just retarded. No global leader in their right mind would concede to this. But see, we have another problem going on the planet. This is the problem, and this is what the politicians are seeing as well. See, in about 8 years, machines are going to take over the workforce. And unless you're involved in some form of field where you're collaborating artificial intelligence and telecommunications and possibly energy manipulation and information manipulation, what's going to happen is a lot of the jobs are going to disappear. Trucking jobs are going to go. Factory jobs are going to go. All this bullshit about the unemployment rate's high in the United States. I wonder who fabricated those numbers. But all the jobs are going to be taken away. Machines can already do the jobs. They already can do everything that we can do. They can lay cement. They can lay streets. They don't even need to be supervised. Except the AI can be programmed. It goes and does whatever it needs to do. It can now fight wars. It doesn't even need soldiers to fight wars. But soldiers are needed to die to create a cause for the war. So with all that's going on and the technological evolution that's happening and the transitioning that's going on right now on the planet, people need to be eliminated. Now, they've been talking about this with the Georgia Guidestones. They've been talking about this with the Protocols of Zion. They've been talking about this with Ted Turner to reduce the population between either 300 million to 500 million. Or is it 5 million? Something like that. Yeah. 300 million to 500 million, depending on who you're listening to. Or 600 million if you're listening to the Protocols of Zion. 600 million people is all they'll need on the planet to keep the planet sustainable. Now, that's a lot of people that have to be eliminated. And the easiest way to do it, and the fastest way to do it, and the cheapest way to do it is through a war. They've already encompassed us with all this technology and biology. They've already released in the last 20 years, all these health issues that are going on today have been all released through vaccination programs, have all been released to aerosol programs, have all been released through food-based programs where they injected or put things in the food supply, causing these genetically engineered infections. When you look at CRISPR, CRISPR is a way of manipulating the genetic code by cutting a strand here and adding a strand there. And when we do that, we're tampering with forces we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. It's another experiment at our expense. But you can manipulate, for instance, a mosquito bite instead of a mosquito bite just leaving a nice welt, an itchy welt, because it has released their saliva or protein inside your body and produces a histamine response from your body so that the blood will flow into the area. You scratch it so that you can increase blood flow to break down the protein so that you can remove the bite or the DNA from the mosquito. But now, with the new and improved mosquito, through genetic engineering, through CRISPR, we now have cut away the specific gene and we've added a gene to it, so now the protein can carry DNA or programming from nano or both. So once the mosquito bites you, can inject inside of you whatever they wish to assault your body with. That is a vaccination program going on through the use of mosquitoes, and you can find this everywhere. I mean, people are getting bit by a mosquito and getting the Zika virus. Like, how in the hell did this happen? We've been here for 60 years. In the last 60 years, we've never heard of such things going on until today. That's because it's until today they have released this type of technology on the general population to alter the DNA so that the DNA now will not respond with the immune system, causing the immune system to have a response mechanism to deal with the assault on the genetic code. As a result, now we have a weaponized mosquito. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Aren't you excited? I'm excited. What happens when a horsefly bites you, or a tick, or other little mites, you know, that may bite you and embed themselves into your body or draw blood from your system, like a dragonfly, for instance, that can draw blood from the system and then release in the body some program. What about a spider bite? You know, think about this for a minute. What about insects? What about insects that don't normally bother men and women? Grass feeders like grasshoppers and crickets and katydids. What happens when the genetic engineering of these bugs turn them into carnivores rather than herbivores? And they assault people and start biting them. What is being released from their systems? Can you imagine that? So we have, I mean, these are some of the things that are not futuristic. They have been around. They're being utilized in other countries. Why is it that in Africa, they have given vaccines to certain villages and towns, and in 5 years, there's nobody left alive? How does that work? Wait a minute here. Let me go back here. Let me digress just a little bit. Vaccines were supposed to protect us from that very thing, is it not? Weren't vaccines were supposed to protect us and prolong our lives? Weren't they supposed to help us become more resistant to being infected? So they give these vaccines to villages in Africa, maybe because they just got a little bit of a suntan. You know, who knows, or maybe because they're just not educated and so it's easier just to eliminate them rather than to educate them. Maybe perhaps because they don't have enough money. Maybe perhaps because they're not part of the IMF banking system, so they can't be controlled by the monetary system. Pick your reason, but they get a vaccination and the vaccination terminates a whole cultural civilization in villages and towns. And now, what are they propagating in North America? What are they propagating in the Commonwealth? What are they propagating in Europe? get your vaccine. Everyone must be vaccinated by 2030. Why is that? I have lived this far without vaccinations. I've never had any infectious diseases that could have destroyed me. My immune system has developed and evolved to be able to deal with a lot of things. And for those of you in your 60s, mid-60s, I got news for you. The flu shots don't work on you at all. In fact, the flu shots have never worked on anybody in their mid-60s. Your immune system is so jacked up as a result of years of being exposed to so many different environmental toxins that your body has produced the immunobodies that it needs to sustain itself. The flu vaccine does nothing for you except load you up like a time bomb, ticking, 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 so that when an activation frequency activates that material inside your body, you will rise in pain and become completely debilitated where you can't walk. All of a sudden you're hunched over, you're in excruciating pain, you can't sleep, you can't see, you can't think. This is being triggered through a weaponized genetics, a weaponized DNA. How would you get that going on? Well, how about breathing the air, for instance? Look at all those chemtrails above you. Do you think those are just vapor? Man, I'm telling you, I'm glad I paid attention to my science course. Vapor, water vapor up there. It's just jet vapor. Perfect weapon. Fly a chemtrail over an area, 23 hours it's on the ground. I don't know how many emails I get after a rain or a snow where people contact me, especially after a rain these days, and they have respiratory issues that can last up to 3 to 6 weeks. Question that comes to my mind, what did they release in the atmosphere? What did they release in the air? What did they infect people with? This is a form of aerosol vaccination. Okay, using nanobiology. Now, the interesting thing about this is when the nanobiology, attaches itself to your DNA, it starts to assemble, it starts to replicate, it starts to repair itself. It starts to form networks and build networks in your body using you as a template, causing you untold pain, untold brain fog, anxiety levels, fear levels, worry levels. You have an imbalance of chemistry in your body causing you to become alarmed, causing you to become afraid, causing you to become neutralized because you don't know what to do, incapacitated. And nobody pays attention. The next time it rains, okay, and it's in your area, pay attention to how many people around you at work or whatever all of a sudden have a respiratory issue, all of a sudden having a hard time breathing, all of a sudden are not showing up for work because their body's in excruciating pain. All of a sudden they get they're disorientated, they don't know where they're at, they can't remember nothing, they're lost, they're just walking in a fog all the time. Where do you think that is coming from? How many of you have had the same experience? When you go out, and say you go out to eat somewhere, and you go to a restaurant, and you eat the food, your favorite food, and you order it, and you start eating, and all of a sudden, you feel like you can't eat it no more, you're ready to barf, it doesn't taste the same, something's wrong with it. What do you think they put in the food? What do you think you're eating there? GMO, GE, transgenetics, nanobiology, synthetic biology. That's what you're eating. When you're going to the store and you're buying a beverage like pop, diet pop, and the juices, what do you think is in those juices? Aborted baby proteins, natural flavor, artificial flavor. You're consuming that. What does that do to your DNA? Could give you a third strand. What is that doing to the body? Too early to tell, but already it's showing signs of causing mayhem on the DNA level. We are not living in the good old days. In fact, we never had any good old days. We had distractions in the good old days. Our lives were living, that we are living today, has not changed that much. We've always been in a state of oppression and a state of enslavement. The only thing that gave us any kind of relief is when we were distracted with things, whether they were sex, getting a buzz, going to a movie, playing a sporting event, going to a dance hall. But nonetheless, it was a short-term distraction for a long-term process, you know, and we were all incapacitated, and then we all believed what we were told. I was watching something, Bell had a video back in the 1950s, how they were saying back in the 50s that you'd be able to have a phone, dial it at home, and turn on your air conditioner, so by the time you got home, the air conditioner would be on and your house would be cool. And they were using an old dial phone, you know, pay phone. Now those of us who live in Canada, you can remember the old phones, the big dial phones with the big circle holes where you could put your finger in and dial, and the big letters, gigantic letters. You had to put either 25 cent or 10 cent thing for a phone call. This is what they were using, right? This is how they were depicting it. Or with your phone, you can send a message to your home at phone and turn on the water sprinkler system. Okay. We can do that today with this technology. Now imagine this now. Think for 1 minute. Think for 1 second. If you could turn on an appliance or device because it had a transmitter that could receive a transmission and activate the program that it was during that current time. What happens when people are swallowing technology that can now assemble, creating a chip and an access point where you are now able to be having transmissions transmitted to your body so that you can now comply to whatever the frequency is telling you to do? Imagine that. It's not an imagination anymore. It's not science fiction anymore. It's reality. When you start watching these programs and you start listening to what people are showing you and telling you, this is not something that's coming in 10 years. This is something that's already been developed and it's already here. Now they're evolving it. They're making it even more effective, more efficient. This is not something that's coming. And some people tell me all the time, and this I want to touch on this too, why am I trying so hard to live then? I mean, with all this shit coming down the pipe. My answer was pretty simple. So you can piss in their cornflakes and be defiant. We are here because we were put here. And when we leave, we should be leaving based on whatever is designated our time to leave. Death comes to us all. No one's exempt. No one. And living in a world where death is all around us, and it is all around us. See, I have people that don't want to face that. They want to face death is all around you. They don't want to face anything. They just want to be they want to just hear positive things. Oh, yes, I'm just so positive. I'm positive. I'm positive. I'm so positive. And they don't want to talk about reality. This is the problem. Because when nobody is dealing with reality, then what happens is you're in agreement because you're not saying nothing. You're doing nothing because you're not facing those issues. You're allowing those who are perpetrating the damage on mankind to continue propagating the damage. You are part of the problem because you want to have this touchy, feely, nicey, goody thing. I'm not saying not to have a realistic experience with feeling good or having something nice to touch or something nice to see. I'm not against having nice things or being able to have But when the shit is hitting the fan and is spreading the shit all over the place, it's time to look at the shit that's on, that's been splattered, and call it what it is, shit. And it's time we look at who's causing all of this shit. It's the only way to put it out there. I could say manure and I could say caca, but it doesn't have the same impact. See, when we look at shit, we get disgusted with it. It should be flushed. It should be buried. It shouldn't be exposed. And what we got going around us is just that, a lot of shit, but we don't want to look at it. We don't want to, we want to avoid it. I will say this on this, in this regard. You can run, but you can't hide. Sooner or later, that shit is going to keep on piling up and piling up. And the more shit piles up, the more it stinks. And the more it stinks and the more it putrefies, the more disease it releases. And as this continues and you continue to have that avoidance factor, eventually that shit will kill you. Because now it has become so overwhelming that now there's no way to deal with it. And now you're the one being overwhelmed. That's how it rolls. That's life. There ain't no pacifying this. There ain't no bone sunshine off your backside. Shit is what it is. And sometimes when we see shit, we need to deal with it. That's the problem. We don't deal with it. We're not dealing with it correctly. And we need to, again, remove the those in power that are allowing this to continue. I don't. Somebody asked me this today. Actually, two people asked me today if I was going to vote. And I told them, no, I'm not voting. I said, but if I did vote, I would put your name on the ballot. Both people, I said, I would put their name on the ballot. Then I wondered today, what would happen if nobody voted? What if we all said, we all put our names on the ballot. We all went to vote, but we all put our names on the ballot. And what would happen when they counted the votes? Nobody voted for the incumbents that are going, they're running today. Everyone voted for themselves. That would send a message that the general population is not happy with the choices we have running for people who are running in office today. Canada's coming up to an election. We got Trudeau, we got Scheer, we got the, I forget who the NDP party is. And I thought about this, what if, because the choices we got are Mo, Larry, and Curley. That's what we got. Just, and if you're still caught up on the election process, seriously, give your head a shake. These voting machines and voting devices are all rigged. It doesn't matter who you vote for, what lever you pull, what thing you punch in. Whoever the banks have decided is going to win the election in Canada has already been chosen. My call is we're going to have a minority government this election. There won't be a clear-cut winner. Next year, the American election will be done, and whoever wins that election will determine who is going to be the majority leader in Canada. And what I mean by that, because this has happened I don't know how many times in the past, when you had a Democrat win the election, and we had Liberal in party, in the party in possession of power. And then when a Conservative won and you had Liberal in power, then what wound up happening was there was a non-confidence vote, there would be an election, we'd have a minority government, and then when the Republican won the election in the United States, and then the non-confidence vote was called in the House, we'd have a new election, and all of a sudden we have a majority Conservative Party which would work with the Republican Party. This is how it's been traditionally. So we'll see if my prediction is correct. But that's how it works in Canada. So we'll see who has the majority in Canada this year. They can't play the game like they normally do. Soros put our prime minister in power. We didn't vote for him. He wasn't voted in. In fact, he was selected. So when we're looking at, look at our prime minister. What qualifications does he have at all? School teacher? That wore some dark makeup. He's well versed in politics, I have to say. When we're dealing with these things and we start looking at trends that have occurred in the last 20 or 30 years in just our politics alone, we can see how they've been controlled. And we can see how our vote really didn't make a difference. So that was my response. And the reason why I'm saying this is because the reality of life today isn't what everybody thinks it is. And the concept and the perspective of things that we need to deal with and see, we need to open our eyes and not shut them. We need to look at the realities of what's going on, not run away from them. You know, we need to call what it is, what is, not saying, oh, I'm just being positively positive because I need to be positive. I can't deal with the negative energy. Oh, the negative energy is just so terrible. Oh, I just want to be, this is brainwashing. This is all brainwashing. So you don't face reality. Basically, you're deceiving yourself with this kind of rhetoric. And as a result, anybody can come along and give you some sort of panacea and things to say, and you'll just say it just like a robot, like a machine, repeating and recanting the same thing over and over until you actually believe the bullshit. That's what's going on with the millennials today. That's how they got them. They got them believing in some bullshit, all this occult crap. It's all total crap. But they got them, you know, oh, it's the power of positive and the power in this, and you, oh, you're just one with the universe. That's such nonsense. Total nonsense. But that's also program rhetoric. Same when you go to the churches, you know, you get the guy up on the altar and on the pulpit, you know, and he does the tic-tac-toe and away you go, you know. Putting on the song and dance, you leave your money and you go home, or you watch the TV evangelicals. The same thing, these guys are Jesuits and Zionists, giving you some sort of biblical philosophy, if it's even that. You drop your money, you go home, you feel good, but what did you really get out of it? You're empty, you're still empty on the inside, you're still having to deal with the problems. You're believing that God's going to take care of you. God does. If you believe that because you gave the money, God's going to make you prosperous. Sometimes that works too. Not all the time. And when things don't work the way they tell you it's working, then maybe you need to question that as well. Biblically it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It has to have substance. Whatever is being preached today, it has to have substance. If it doesn't have substance, you got nothing. Zero. Nada. What you got is bullshit and lies and games that keep you deceived and weaved into some sort of anomaly or anomalous thinking that has absolutely no basis in reality. You won't face the problems. You won't look at the problems. You won't deal with the problems. You won't fix the problems because they got you caught up on, well, you know, I'm just going to be, you know, feely, touchy, positively positive. Ooh. No, those problems don't exist. No, not in my world. Let me tell you, have you heard that horseshit? Once we face the problems that are here today, we can start making the corrections that are required. You know, Brian396 and myself looked at the problems of nanopoison. We didn't call it Morgellons. We didn't call it rope worms. We looked at it for what it was. We weren't running from it. We saw it was a nanobiological agent that they had infected us with. And then we proceeded from there and we started looking at solutions and we tested different things. Certain things worked, certain things didn't work, but we faced that head on together. We didn't run from it. Oh, it's not in our world. Oh, it can't be. No, it's, yeah, no, no. We're allowing negativity to get in the way. As a result of that, you know, cooperation that we had, you now today have solutions you didn't have 13 years ago because we faced it, and now we have something that is there to that has substance that can be given, that you can now see results, which may take time. You have to understand we are now dealing in a world today that is being run by programming and frequencies, and unfortunately you are loaded with the access point in order to be programmed, accessed, hacked, and controlled. When we did the show last week on the DARPA mind control and how they're saying how they were collecting every bit of data they could so they could better control you, you better believe this is what they're doing. They have access to you in places you can't begin to access, and some things that seem so innocent, like filling out a survey, nobody should be filling out nothing. Zero. Because any information you put on a survey now ties it to you, and now they know that much more information about you, no matter how harmless it may appear, no matter how innocent it seems, that is a weapon. And that is a weapon that's being collected against you so that the information can be utilized to manipulate you and control you. And you need to pay attention. You also need to pay attention to the medical establishment. The doctors have never cured nothing in over... I had a guy contact me today, and he asked me if I would tell his brother to go and get chemotherapy. And I said, don't ever ask me that again. I said, this time around, I'll let it go because of your ignorance. But the next time around, I'll equate you to the most murderous person on the planet. I said, if you give him that chemotherapy, you have just basically signed this death warrant. Chemotherapy has never cured anybody of cancer. Never. It has, and even radiation therapy has never cured anybody of cancer. It never, never. It will put you in some kind of remission. But what that remission means is that the therapies that they have used have destroyed both the good and the bad. Your body has been broken down so bad that the cancer has nothing to feed on anymore, and it so it goes into a state of remission. It's still there. Now, in 5 years, when your body has had a chance to recover from the therapies that they have initiated in your system, that's when you die of cancer, because now it has what it needs to continue its mutations. And sometimes it activates long before that 5-year time frame. Their idea of a successful treatment, not a cure, a treatment, is that if you survive 5 years of their bullshit, you that is success. So I put this out to today so that if any of you in your right mind tell me to write somebody, a family member, to go and do a therapy that is so toxic, okay, I will blast you hard, really hard. I will speak Canadian and in ways you can't imagine Canadians talk on that matter. Anybody that wants to choose to go that route, that is then their choice. I have no say one way or another on that. But if you are trying to coerce somebody to take a choice without you even looking at all the facts and details, and then call me up and ask me if I would talk to your family member to do this therapy, I will chew you out a new ass. You have no idea. Research before you coerce anybody to do anything that you have no idea about. Same with the vaccines. Research before you tell somebody, oh yeah, I did the vaccines. Oh, it's not do it. 10 years from now, you may be dying from those vaccines, and you're not knowing it because you took a genetic material or a nanomaterial or a substance in that vaccine that has now caused a complete overriding of your DNA, and you can no longer access your immune system to fight off what's going on, and you're in a constant state of compromise because of a bad, bad choice due to ignorance and due to stupidity. The onus is really on you. My website, augmentandforce.com, has information on vaccines. It's got a main page, vaccine tells you what's in it, and then on the recipe for YouTube, there's an excipient page. This is a government document telling you what's in there, the aborted babies and everything else. So if you're still thinking that your vaccines are going to do something for you, I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to turn you into a drone, and you won't live very long. Longevity came as a result of a cleaner environment. That's the bulk of it. And that the food supply also had less toxicity to it because of the way the food was not only killed, packaged, or preserved. Don't assume nothing from the medical establishment. They don't give a shit about you. Period. You're just a dollar sign waiting to be pickpocketed. And when you walk in, they don't care if you come out dead or alive. You're going to come back, that's fine. That means more money in their pocket. That's the name. This is where we're at today. There is no ethical, moral, there is no Hippocratic oath being practiced in the medical field today. What you got today is a commercialized version of the pharmaceutical industry. So when you go in, they are now experimenting with these drugs on your personage, seeing what it's going to do and how it's going to better manipulate your genetic code. That's reality. That's the substance of life that we're living in today. So when I call this planet a shithole, I'm not kidding. They have turned it into that. All right, I'm going to cut it loose right here. There was a lot I was going to talk about today, which I never even got to on my site. But I will put this data up there, so maybe I'll touch on this on Thursday or sometime during the week. The other thing, I am going to talk about one thing. I didn't talk about it the other day. A lot of you are doing research in PubMed and NIH and other sites. And I commend you for doing the research. But recognize something about the research you're looking at, especially some of the sites you're looking at. Some of that research is at best nominal. And you have to actually test the research yourself, because the way a lot of those papers were written, they were written as a peer-reviewed that were being done by people that didn't care. Let me read this. Academics reviewing papers for its journals were exploiting the review process by asking authors to reference the reviewer's own papers in exchange for a positive report. Get what I'm saying here? Academics reviewing papers for its journals were exploiting the review process by asking the authors to reference the reviewer's own papers in exchange for a positive report. In other words, if I was selling you soy, and I had a peer review going on by students or university professors or whatever, they would ask the authors, in other words, they would pay them to give a positive reference to their administration's research. So a lot of times the research wasn't accurate at all. There's absolutely no reason to eat soy. None. If you go on PubMed, you'll see all kinds of positive references and also negative ones. But if it was so positive, why did the FDA for almost 100 years, not 100 years, sorry, for almost 67 years, and it's still there, soy is in a poison plant database. They knew this before the 1950s. So how did it go from being a poisonous food to a health food? Oh wait, it got into the health food industry, just like all the other health foods that were poisonous. This is my point. When you read these things, understand they're not all accurate. In fact, probably only about 5% are. The rest is either being done by corporations to sell a product. Carbon C60, anybody? There's 210,000 toxicology reports on carbon C60, and one video turned people into morons. Nobody looked at the research, nobody looked at the information on the research and bought into it, and as a result, a lot of people had head injuries as a result of using carbon C60, because that's where it embeds in the brain. 210,000 toxicology reports and one or two good ones. I was so impressed. The gullibility and stupidity knows no bounds. Start paying attention. Don't get caught up on the entertainment of the health food industry. You got all these gurus come up, and they got the theatrics set up just like a Hollywood set. They got the music playing in a certain tone. Certain frequencies are being played so that you now get into, oh, I'm excited. Yes, oh, let's hear what this guy got to say. Because that's how they have devised and designed the promotion that they're going to put out there. And now you listen to it because now you've been entertained. You have been entertained. Now you run and buy the product thinking, oh yes, I'm entertained. Oh, because I heard Dr. So-and-so and, you know, Guru Goofyitis over here and this guy there. Oh yes, I'm just, oh, I gotta buy it, gotta buy it, gotta buy it. And you buy the thing without even reading the label, and the label's loaded with excipients causing the product to be inert or useless or even toxic. But you take the pill because you're so excited because you've been entertained, and after you take the pills for a couple of days, oh yeah, I feel great, I feel wonderful, I feel, and after about 2 weeks, I feel like shit, man, what the heck is going on? What am I doing? I was feeling good before I bought this product. And then you hear me talking on the show saying, well, maybe you got to read the excipients. You got to read the other ingredients. So you read the other ingredients. Titanium dioxide, silicon dioxide, aluminum lake, red, yellow, green, blue, white, ordered babies. Oh, sorry, natural and artificial flavor. What's natural and artificial flavor? Microcrystalline cellulose, hypercross carmelose. What are those? You know. Propylene glycol? What's that doing in the supplement? That's toxic. Antifreeze is my supplement? And the list goes on and on. But nobody reads that because you're too busy being entertained. I'm entertained, oh. I got to listen to Dr. Blah, 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 blah. He knows what he's talking about. Oh, because he's a doctor. Anyway, all right, I've berated this long enough. I'll see you guys Thursday. But till then, seriously, study, test all things. Biblically, there's a biblical saying, and it goes like this. It says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. I kind of modify it a little bit. Not that I'm adding to God's word, so don't jump all over and say, you're adding to God's word. No, I'm not adding. This is just how I approach it. I test all things and hold fast to what works. You know, that's how I look at it. That's how I approach things. If it works, I want it. If it's just sitting there collecting dust, doing nothing, and I'm not seeing any real results with it, then it's time to leave it alone and move to something else. You know, sometimes things take a certain amount of time, but I will need to see substance. I'll look at research just like you do. And again, somebody says, well, how do I do my research? Well, just type in the URL, what you're looking for. And then go to the actual research document, the PDF or whatever that you need to find, or the book that it came out of, and actually read the research there as a result, and then see what they did. And see if that will apply in the real world, because sometimes a lot of these experiments that they've done have been done in a controlled environment. If they're done in a controlled environment, well, it may not work in the real world. In the real world, we are exposed to, you name it, we're exposed to it. Chemtrails, frequencies, smart dust, smart sensors, smart bots, nanosilica, nanosilver, aluminum, titanium dioxide, barium titaniate. You know, we're exposed to soy and all kinds of levels. I mean, it's almost canola oil. I mean, omega-3s are completely rancid. Shouldn't be sold on the market at all. But it's being sold. The only reason fish oil should be sold today as wood, it should only be sold as wood stain. Because they're all rancid. You shouldn't be eating rancid oil. It causes more generation, it causes more cellular breakdown of the body. But this is what they're propagating. And again, if you look at the research on it, fish oil does all these wonderful things. Well, how can it do all those wonderful things if it's rancid? It breaks you down, causes the body to be poisoned. Cholesterol is what you need for the brain. Nobody talks about cholesterol for the brain, but that's what you really need for the brain. Are we talking about that? No, we're running to get all these rancid oils. We're talking about getting these rancid fats. Flax oil, fish oil, some of the omega-6s they're selling. I had one guy from Europe send me a picture of sunflower oil that he took a picture of, and it was loaded with nanofibers. Imagine that. It's in the fat you're eating. So like I said, pay attention. Don't just impulsively go and buy something because you see your favorite goofy guru. Oh, there's my favorite goofy guru. Yeah, I'm going to buy this stuff. Oh, yeah. Research. Test it. Make sure it's clean. Excipient free. You have to buy it in powder. Make your own capsules. Do so. Now, the ratio of exchange from men, animals to men, is different. If you go by the research studies and they say the suggested dose based on animal studies is 1 to 3 capsules a day, you need 5 to 10 times more than what they're telling you. That is a lot of horse hockey. So again, if you're going to test the product, test it correctly by using the adequate dose that you need, 5 to 10 times more. All right, gave you a lot to think about. Think about it, experiment, come up with some conclusions, come up with something that is substantial. Until the next show, it is to your health. Take care.